Hey guys, Blaine from DTC Pod here, and I've got something you're gonna like. So if you're anything like us, bringing highly talented VAs or virtual assistants into your operations and workflows is a big part of running a business. But oftentimes the hardest part is sourcing and vetting talent, especially at an affordable rate. And that's where More Now comes in. They source and match you with top talent from the Philippines across finance, supply chain, operations, marketing, and whatever else you may need. And the best part is they're super cost effective and back their talent with a 12-month guarantee. So go to morenow.co or check the link I'm dropping in the show notes to learn more about More Now and start offloading some of the most tedious tasks off your plate. We've had a bunch of success working with them and their VAs in our workflows. So excited for you guys to check them out. So before we kick off today's recording, I've got one more for you. Keeping up your momentum this year starts with the right selling tools. And if you're looking to increase revenue, grow faster, build more pipeline, and close more deals, check out the all-new Sales Hub from HubSpot. You'll be able to manage your whole sales process, plus my favorite part, the reporting. It's super intuitive, powerful, and customizable. Plus, the whole thing is powered by AI, so your teams can spend less time on tedious, time-consuming stuff and more time on developing relationships. Also, no one likes a clunky platform that takes months to onboard onto, but getting set up on Sales Hub is really quick and easy. It's free to get started, the pricing will scale with your business, and with more than 1,300 integrations and add-ons, you can tune it to your exact needs. Visit hubspot.com/sales to start selling with Sales Hub. What's up, DTC Pod? Today, we've got Mina Elias back on the show, and we're going to be talking about Amazon today. We're really excited to have Mina back because last time, we covered everything and what it takes to launch a successful brand on Amazon. So if you're just getting started, definitely encourage you to go back and check out that previous episode that we ran with Mina. We'll link it in the show notes. But for this one, the topic of the show is going to be all about how do you scale on Amazon? What does it take? What do you need to do as a brand? So Mina, why don't you kick us off? Give our listeners who maybe didn't tune into the last one, why don't you give us a little bit of background about yourself, what you've done in the Amazon space, and then we'll jump right into it and what it takes to scale a brand. So yeah, why don't you kick us off?
Awesome. Yeah. And this is basically like V2 or part two of like last episode. So definitely watch the last one. If you're a D2C founder, I think we talked about how to assess if your product would work on Amazon or wouldn't work, what to look for, search volume, all that kind of stuff, and how to get it set up. My background, I come from, I was working corporate 9 to 5, chemical engineer, up until 2018. And then in 2018, I started a supplement company because of my passion for supplements. The plan wasn't to get it on Amazon initially, it was very difficult for me to sell it in gyms and supplement stores, being like kind of like a solo founder. I didn't know how to do anything. I was just an engineer. And so I decided to get it on Amazon, became obsessed with Amazon, made it work. 6 months later, I was making like $4K a month in profits. Grew that brand, scaled it to 7 figures by 2019. And then in 2020 hit, COVID hit. So I started getting on podcasts like this, sharing my knowledge. And everyone started knowing who I was. I was approached by an aggregator to help them build their team up and train them on Amazon and advertising, things like that. I outperformed 6 other agencies that they had hired sort of when I ran one of their brands, and decided to start an agency. And so now we run about, I created my agency Trivium in 2021. We run about 170 brands right now and 83 employees or so. And I'm just like all in on Amazon and like just live and breathe Amazon pretty much. So I'm here to share in this episode everything that I think you should know about how to scale your brand on Amazon.
Yeah, and I love that. And one of the reasons we love having these conversations, especially with you, is you have, it's not just like you have one perspective from one brand. You're overseeing the operations of not only a ton of ad spend, but you're seeing what's working across a whole bunch of different brands. So without any further ado, let's get into it. So for brands who maybe have already gotten their storefront set up on Amazon and are starting to sell, why don't you just talk us through like, how do you think about traffic? What do you need to know? What do we need to know to start growing our traffic and growing our sales in Amazon?
Yeah. So the way that Amazon works is like a funnel, essentially, like anything else, right? Like if you're Facebook ads, like the funnel is pretty simple. You're creating ads, you're getting impressions, you're getting clicks from those ads. They're going to a landing page. a certain percentage of those people are converting, that's your conversion rate. Amazon is very, very similar, except we don't have as much control on our ad creative and on our landing page. All of our ad creative is the same. It's just our listing, you know, the main image, the price, and the reviews. And all of our landing pages are the same. It's your product detail page. So that's the basic, if you want to compare Facebook with Amazon, you know, for the D2C founders, I think that's a good analogy. So with the funnel being, you're launching ads. And when you launch ads, you're basically showing up your listing as sponsored in all of those search results. The ads are all search-based, like keyword-based. There's some product targeting-based, which we'll cover in a second, but the majority of them, like someone types in the keyword electrolyte powder, you see a bunch of results. The top four are sponsored. After that, there's organic and a little bit more organic. And then there's a video, and then there's some more sponsored, and then organic, and so on and so forth. So you're basically, when you create campaigns, ad campaigns on Amazon, you're showing up there and you're getting impressions. So that's the first step of the funnel, is impressions. Now, a certain number of those impressions will turn into clicks and people coming into the listing. And that is dependent on your click-through rate, which is dependent on the main factors that affect that are your main image, your price, your reviews, your star rating, if you're prime, like FBA versus FBM, and if you have, you know, discounts or coupons, badges, etc. So there's only like a few factors, I think seven total factors that affect your click-through rate. Having a better main image, more attractive main image, we'll cover all that stuff in a second. So now that the people are in the listing, there's two things that you need to take into account. There's clicks and there's sessions. Clicks is someone that clicked on your ad. Sessions is a unique Amazon account that visited your listing. And so the reason that there's a difference between the two is because Mina, I'm a shopper. I can type in electrolyte powder, click on my product, electrolyte supplement, click on my product, you know, electrolyte powder for men, click on my product. And that's three clicks and one session only. So it's important to understand the distinction. And then once the people are into the listing or in the product detail page, a certain percentage of them will convert. And that's dependent on your conversion rate, which the factors that affect that are the rest of your images on the listing, the videos on the listing, the title, the bullet points, the reviews, obviously, and the star rating and the discounts and coupons. If you have a brand story, if you have premium A-plus content, is that like nice landing page looking thing that's selling, visually selling your product. If you have images in the reviews, if you have Amazon posts, if you have UGC videos, there's a certain number of things that you can affect, like you can change to affect your product detail page. The more that you take advantage of those things, obviously, the better your conversion rate is going to be. And I think the biggest things that affect conversion rate, in my opinion, are price, reviews, and your creatives. If you focus on those three things, if you have creative that sells, like it's like a, the difference between D2C creative and Amazon creative is huge. D2C creative, like you're putting like the side of the product, the back of the product, someone like taking a pill or someone, you know, holding a wallet, that doesn't fly on Amazon because Amazon is like a bodybuilding show. Like you need to come in and you have six poses. And in those six poses, you have to show why you're better than everyone else. And it's the same thing. You have five images. And in those five images, you have to say, okay, here's how we're better than everyone else. And the second one, you're like, here's how we have all the good stuff of everyone and none of the bad stuff of everyone. And the image after, here's how we have social proof. We're in Forbes, we're in Shark Tank, we're in Business Insider, we're in CNBC, whatever, you know? And it's just like every single image is like you saying like clearly communicating why your product is better than everyone else and why it solves the you know, the problem that, you know, like if I'm looking for a credit card holder, my problem is I need something to hold my cards. So how are you the best one and how do you solve my problem the most? Well, I can carry the most cards. I have RFID, you know, protection, whatever it may be, like all the things that people are looking for a credit card that's sleek, it's stylish, lifetime warranty, etc. So that is essentially the funnel on Amazon. So I just want to take a second to explain that because everything else is going to work off of that. The way that the funnel works is it's not actually one funnel. It's 1,000 different funnels. Every keyword is a funnel. So when you're like the way that Amazon works is Amazon is a bunch of shelves, right? It's like a store with a bunch of shelves. But all of those shelves, don't think about them as aisles. Think about them as keywords. And so I'm going to Whole Foods and the you know, aisle one is electrolyte powder. Aisle two is electrolyte supplement. Aisle three is electrolyte powder for men. And then every single, you know, search results is unique. and it's going to get, you know, you're going to get a certain number of impressions in those search results, certain number of click-through rate in that search result, a certain number of conversion rate based on that search result. So it's all of those funnels combined that create the big funnel. So the game of Amazon is, how do I show up in the most amount of places as possible profitably? Because some places I'm going to launch an ad and I'm going to get a lot of clicks with no sales. In other places, I'm going to launch an ad, get like one click and one sale. So how do I show up in the most amount of places to get the maximum amount of impressions profitably by looking at like one keyword at a time and saying, okay, I'm profitable here, not profitable there. How do I maximize my click-through rate so that from those impressions, I'm getting the most number of people coming into the listing? And then how do I maximize my conversion rate so that the most number of people that are in my listing convert into a sale? And then there's obviously like the extra nuances of getting people to become subscribers, increasing average order value by having like frequently bought together or virtual bundles, things like this. These are all like small nuances, but the general kind of like foundation of the business is traffic and conversions. Show up in the most amount of places, get the most number of impressions as profitably as possible, improve your click-through rate, improve your conversion rate, and then make the most number of sales. So pause there for some questions.
Yeah, no, I love that. And instantly what it's what your description is really making me think of is there's a lot of overlap with like how you think about Amazon and how you might think about SEO, right? Like at the end of the day, these are keywords and then you have different attributes that you can control on your product page and on your listing. So your listing is going to be kind of like, you know, what is going to show up in your Google search result, the meta description, all of that. And then the product, like you're saying, you need to have like, that's like your landing page and what's going to make people to convert. One question that I have is, you know, shopping on Amazon is inherently a different process than shopping on D2C. Because when you're in shopping on D2C, a lot of time you've got brand recognition, you've driven the traffic. It's your job to now convert someone who's on their page, but they're not comparing your brand necessarily with all these different brands. Whereas in Amazon, like you said, you're intent-based shopping a lot of the time. So now you're comparing one brand to a whole bunch of either other related brands or even almost like unbranded sort of products that are going after one specific thing. So my question is, let's talk about some of those levers that you described, right? Like the sponsored post. So that's like, how do we get the listing as high up to the search result as possible? Let's talk about the image and let's talk about the ratings, the number of ratings and the stars. And like, how do all of these factor into, you know, conversion, and how does a brand really optimize these to give themselves the best chance at conversion?
Yeah. So the first thing that I want to cover is like, I'm going to get into the ads, but before I get into the ads, sales based on ads, it's like a 50-50. Like if you guys have ever run paid traffic, you know that it's like half of it is your creative or whatever, like the getting the person to the landing page, and then the other half is the landing page. So anything that you do to improve click-through rate and conversion rate will affect your ads performance. So just putting that out there so that we all know, like if you just launch on Amazon and you have 10 reviews and all of your ad performance is bad, it's okay because, you know, it's your landing page. It doesn't have enough reviews, so it's not converting. And as you get more reviews, all of your ads are going to start performing better. So how do I look at ads? My goal, I know that, let's say there's 1 million people total a month that are looking for electrolyte powders. And so my goal is to show up, and the 1 million people are using 1,000 different keywords to find those electrolyte powders. So my goal is to show up under all of those 1,000 keywords. But we need to like think about it more logistically. Like, okay, the goal is I want to show up in front of, you know, under all of those keywords in front of all of those people, but it does, like financially, it's not going to work. So what do I do? I first start by saying, okay, which keywords do I think? And I have, if you like, you look at my YouTube, right? Mina Elias, I have a lot of like keyword research videos and stuff if you want to get like nitty gritty, but I'm like, okay, let's take the top 10 keywords. These are the same keywords that all of my competitors are ranking very high for. Let's start there and let's run an auto campaign. And so what I'm going to start doing is, let's say I have $100 a day budget. My initial $100 a day, that's all test ad spend, right? It's all tested. Like, I don't know if it's going to work or not. And so I go after those 10 keywords. Two of those keywords, let's say when I'm in the top position, I'm converting profitably. Great. So I keep those. Now I have, you know, $20 of profitable ad spend, $80 of not profitable ad spend. So I have two options with the $80. I can either try to lower my position in the ads. So when I launch the keyword, I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend a dollar. It's a bidding system. So at a dollar, I'm maybe position 10. At $2, I'm position one. So let's say I started at, you know, position one, $2. I'm not profitable. I'm spending, you know, $10 and, you know, or let's say $50 and one sale, and I have a $20 product. So I'm going to start lowering the bids, let's say down to a dollar. Now I'm position 15. And again, the bid changes are going to happen gradually, not like a big jump. It's just going to be like from $2 to, you know, $195, $190, $185, and so on. And I'm going down the positions until I find a spot where I'm either converting profitably or I'm not getting any more clicks, and it's fine. We're not spending anymore. The reason that as you lower the bids, you start converting more profitably is there's more buyer intent. Like someone who types in electrolyte powder and sees you on page one, the top, and clicks on you, maybe they're just browsing. Someone who found you in the bottom of page one and decided to click on you, they have more buyer intent. So that's kind of the first part is, okay, all of our budget is test. Now we have $20 that's working, $80 that's not working. Let's say we were able to get, you know, another $10 that's working after lowering the bids. So now we have $30 that's working, $70 not working. So at $70 that's not working, we scrap it and we start using it, you know, on another set of keywords, right? And we keep doing it. And again, like the performance of those keywords is also dependent on conversion rate. So maybe this week it didn't work, but 6 months from now, you have 1,000 more reviews, it's going to work profitably. And so that's the system of when I'm running ads is how do I test all of the different keywords in a systematic way? Because if I had $1 million that I could spend on ads in the first week, I would set every single keyword, maximum budget, maximum bid, blow the money, you know, spend $1 million in the first week, get all the data and make the decision. And then obviously I'm going to keep having to make decisions again and again, because as my conversion rate changes, my performance of the ad's going to change. So maybe I have now new keywords that I can start spending more money on. So that's kind of in terms of paid traffic. That's the goal. The goal is to identify as many keywords as possible, launch ads, show up on those keywords. If it's working, keep spending. If it's not working, lower the bids, add them as negatives, launch more campaigns.
So real quick, Mina, just to kind of jump in there, how would you recommend a brand that's like looking to scale? How many keywords do you recommend they go after in the first place? Is it just based on budget, or is there, you know, like, because managing a process, like if you have budget spending on like 500 different keywords, that's a lot to like manage as from a process point of view. So how do you think about it when you're starting to look to scale? Like, how do you determine how many keywords you're going after, and how do you determine, you know, like how do you run that process?
Yeah, it's 100% dependent on your budget. So inch your way up. Let's say you want to spend $100 a day more, launch 5 keywords. Let's say it's all $1.50 bid. So I have 5 keywords, $1.50 bid, you know, different match types. So 5 keywords broad, 5 keywords phrase, 5 keywords exact. And you launch them in those different campaigns. And now how much are you ended up spending? Okay, I was spending $25 more. Great, I have $75 more. Let's do another 5 keywords, another 5 keywords, another 5 keywords until you get to that $100 mark. Amazon is very, very, very dynamic because it's human behavior. So it's like how much you spend depends on the number of people and who are shopping that day. So it's impossible to predict, but you can iterate fast enough. You can say, okay, I'm going to put 10 keywords out there. Did I spend $100 or did I not? I didn't. Okay, launch more. I did. Okay, let's cut down some of the keywords or lower the bids or maybe pause some of the keywords until I have a little bit more budget. That's the way that I would look at it. And over time, you start accumulating more and more and more keywords that are working profitably. And let's say, like, you know, after a month or so, you have $100 that's profitable and the $100 is generating $600 in sales. So then you launch another $100 worth of keywords. That $100 is not profitable, but you keep churning it. And then maybe another month later, now you have $200 generating you $1,200 in sales and so on. And that's essentially like the journey of like running ads. I can jump into now like the other factors. So that's the ad section side of it. The sales come in two ways on Amazon, or traffic comes in two ways: paid, which we covered, and then organic. Organic essentially depends on Amazon sees you, like the journey of shoppers from that keyword for your product, How is it going? So people who search electrolyte powder, they see your product. Are they clicking on it? Yes or no? And once they do click on it, are they converting? Yes or no? And the people that get the most clicks and conversions, the most, like the best conversion rate, basically, on that keyword, start getting ranked higher, because Amazon's saying, okay, and we know this because we used to do something called search find buy, which is manipulating the ranking, where we'd make people, we'd force people to search a keyword, find our product, click on it and buy it. And then Amazon would say, oh, wow, this product is converting really well for that keyword, show it up higher so it can get more people. So if Amazon sees that someone who types in the keyword electrolyte powder finds your product, clicks on it and then converts, it's going to rank you better. So obviously, as your click-through rate and your conversion rate improves for a certain keyword, you start getting ranked higher. That's how organic ranking works. And organic ranking is amazing because that's where you finally start taking advantage of the Amazon algorithm. It's bringing those hundreds of thousands, millions of people a month, you know, typing keywords and searching for keywords. And if you don't have to pay for it and you're ranked organically, that's amazing. You're making a shitload of money. And then the other thing that we started noticing is improving organic ranking and has nothing to do with any of that stuff is how much external traffic your product is bringing into Amazon. So what we've noticed with a few brands that we've worked with, one of them being celebrity, a few of them being heavy TikTok, like influencer based. And some of them actually like also mentioned on Joe Rogan, like stuff like that, you know, like a lot of like external stuff like that drives to Amazon. We've noticed that people will come in, they'll search for their brand name, they'll find the product and they'll buy it. And Amazon decides to increase the organic rank across the board. So for completely non-branded keywords that have nothing to do with the brand, like electrolyte powder, like let's say a lot of people were typing MMA nutrition, like all of a sudden I was mentioned on Joe Rogan, MMA nutrition, you know, so many people are typing in MMA nutrition. Amazon increases the organic rank for all of the keywords, electrolyte powder, electrolyte supplement. And my theory is that it looks as like to reward people that are bringing outside people into the platform. Because if they're...
So you're basically saying that one of the things that you want to be doing as a brand is you want a high level of like branded search as well, because when you can bring branded search into Amazon, so, you know, new customer comes into Amazon, empty search box, types in your name of your brand exactly and lands on your page and converts, they're going to see that as a great signal to start improving your keyword rankings across the board for all those other sub-specific keywords that you're ranking for. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Because it sees you as a good brand. It sees you as a good brand that is driving branded search. You're basically bringing people to their platform and they want to reward you for that. But obviously that doesn't mean that you can just have a great Facebook ads and TikTok ads and not do any of the Amazon stuff. You have to be good on both sides, but it's just saying like, if you're doing well on the Amazon side and you also drive a lot of branded traffic, it will be synergistic. You'll get a lot more sales and especially free sales.
Yeah. And I think that's a great thing for D2C brands, because one of the things that D2C is so good at is building brand and brand notoriety. Whereas there's a lot of brands that'll just pop up on Amazon to play the Amazon game without being worried about branded. So if you do have a branded entity and you are building a brand on your direct channels and your omni-channel things, you want to parlay that back into your Amazon strategy for sure.
100%. 100%. That's exactly it. And then, so the second one is click-through rate, right? How do we maximize click-through rate? And here's the cool thing. We notice that as your click-through rate improves, your cost per click goes down. So not only are you getting more people into the listing, you know, based on the same number of impressions that you're getting, but also it's costing you less on the ad side. And obviously, if you have a better click-through rate, it's not just coming from ads, it's also coming from organic. So you're getting more people in through organic that are going to convert for free. And then you're going to get more people through paid that are going to convert at a lower cost because the cost per click goes down. And I think this is Amazon's way of rewarding you for, you know, having a better click-through rate. So the factors that affect click-through rate, main image. The main image, you have to think about it as not only being like a very sharp and beautiful main image, but also, you know, having eye candy. And then if you can sell the product through the label, through the boxing, through the packaging, that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, like I'm typing in a keyword like credit card holder, and then I'm going to see a bunch of credit card holders. I'm going to have to make a decision with my eyes. So if I see two credit card holders, One of them is just a credit card holder, and the other one is a credit card holder on top of a box, and that box happens to mention that there's a lifetime warranty and that it is like RFID technology or some shit like that. I don't know, whatever you know, credit card holders have, like the RFID protection. I'm gonna look and notice that one, and I'm gonna see that it's a good image, but also I'm gonna be quickly sold on the spot and be like, okay, let me click on that one, because it just convinced me in two other ways that this is why I should click on this product. So that's in terms of the main image. Reviews are always going to be reviews, right? If you have a shit product with 100,000 reviews, you're selling like hotcakes. That's how Amazon works. That's why so many people are doing review manipulation and insert cards and you know, all of that stuff, because it works. It works very effectively. So make sure you have a review strategy. And the ultimate way to get reviews is basically for people to buy your product and then for you to identify them. So whether you tell them to buy or you identify them after the fact through like an opt-in. And then after that, incentivize them or you know, you shouldn't incentivize them because it's against terms of service, but most people incentivize them for a review.
We are really excited to announce that DTC Pod is officially part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. The HubSpot Podcast Network is the audio destination for business professionals. And we're really excited about being part of the network because we're going to be able to keep growing the show, bringing you guys amazing guests, and obviously helping you guys learn from the best founders, marketers, and builders of the most successful consumer brands. So anyway, keep listening to DTC Pod and more shows like us on the HubSpot Podcast Network at hubspot.com/podcast network. Okay, yeah, can we talk about that a little bit? Because I know how important reviews are through click-through rate. Even when I go shopping, like I'm literally doing exactly what you said. I'm looking at the pictures. I'm looking at the average customer reviews. If I don't see anything I like on the first page, I go up to the toggle and I'm like, sort by average customer reviews. And then I see like some 4.7s or 4.8s and I like go down the rabbit hole there a little bit. So, you know, what is inbounds? What's against terms of service? What do successful brands do? How do you incentivize? You know, are a lot of these brands doing fake reviews? Like what's happening, and what do brands that win at Amazon and scaling, like how do they build up reviews beyond the obvious, oh, have a great product, get a great review sort of strategy?
Yeah. So obviously the have a great product, get a great review. I don't know if I really believe that. I've never left a product review without it being like a friend's product or something. So, I don't know if I believe that. I think what is White Hat and what Amazon allows you to do is just to ask for a review. So if I know that you bought my product, I can just say, hey, Blaine, can you leave me a review? That's the only thing that I can do. I can't say good review, bad, like don't leave me a bad review. I can't say I'll give you a free gift if you leave me a review. Any of that stuff is against terms of service. So I think the game becomes, okay, how do you identify everyone who's buying your products? There needs to be some sort of opt-in. So if you have a product and it needs, you know, you need to scan a QR code and enter information to activate a certain thing or get a certain thing, now you're getting access to that customer data, which Amazon doesn't give you. If it was easy and Amazon gave us everyone's emails, then we'd start some sort of email marketing and start to get reviews. But they know that that's going to happen, so they prevent you from getting the customer data. So it's up to you on how can you get someone to opt in by, like, you know, seeing something on your product packaging, a QR code, and it being compelling, like, you know, opt in to activate a lifetime warranty or get like a library of recipes or something like that, something that's compelling, not just like activate to get, you know, our newsletter, or activate to be the first to know when we have a discount. I don't care when you have a discount. Like, you know, I'm not like, if you're a brand like that I'm using religious, like if you're a Gymshark and I have like 1,000 Gymshark shirts, okay, maybe, you know, I'll opt in for discounts. But besides that, no one's opting in. So something compelling. And then, you know, like once you have the customer information, you can ask for a review or you can incentivize for a review, you know, and it's up to you. You can pick if you want to go completely white hat. You're probably going to have much less results than if you go a little bit gray hat and say, you know, try and find a way to give someone something and use the law of reciprocation, where you give them something for free and they're like, okay, fine, I'll leave your review, sort of thing. That's I think the one of the biggest ways. And the other way is, how do you get a bunch of people to, you know, like, I think creating community. How do you get a bunch of people to in a community buying your product, using your product, to reviewing your product? And I think that's what a lot of the really, really big brands do is that they have community involved, and they kind of motivate the community to leave reviews, and the community leaves reviews. And I don't think that's against terms of service, because you're basically like nurturing the people and saying, you know, you're giving them all this value and saying, hey, like, it would help us out a lot if you left us reviews, but you're not really incentivizing anything. So that's kind of the way I've seen big brands succeed.
Two other questions I have to follow up on that. One is, it basically sounds like you're saying you want to have like a really solid, almost like lead magnet sort of strategy that ties into your product, where you're giving something of value that people could opt into, whether it's QR code or something else. And you're getting people in, like you're saying, I think if you're lazy about it and you're just like, oh, subscribe to my newsletter, or, you know, subscribe for a next discount, like, people are like, okay, I've seen a million of that. But if you can provide something that aligns, makes sense with your product, and you can draw them in and you get the first party data that way, then you can build them, nurture them, and ask for the review. My other question was going to be, talk to me about like the more gray black hat sort of area of Amazon. I know when I look on products, like, I see products where I'm like, okay, it has like 5 stars. It's gotten like 85 star reviews. These are clearly like fake, because like, I don't know, they're really like, what's happening there? Or, you know, is that something that can like really kill a brand? Is this something that you really don't want to do? You know, what's, I guess, happening behind the scenes for those? Are they like buying their own products or reviewing them themselves? Like, what's happening? What are we seeing, and how bad is it?
Yeah. I mean, I think that like, there's a few things. There's like the insert cards that say like, get a free product. So as soon as you get the you get the thing, like, you get the product, you scan the QR code, you get a free product. This is, okay, what's your information? What's your address for us to send you a free product? And then say, okay, can you leave us a review? So that is, you know, one of the ways that is, you know, considered more black hat. There's also like, I think, review groups. So a lot of burner accounts that are, you know, you just pay to get reviews. I would stay away from that stuff. And I'll tell you the way that Amazon works. If a computer can detect it, Amazon can detect it. And so when you're thinking about reviews and you're thinking about the community, and or if you're a D2C brand and you decide to do like a promo, and that promo is basically like for the first, you know, 10 people that leave a product on Amazon, that buy our product on Amazon, we're going to give you this thing for free. And you have a bunch of people just from your email going to buy the product. And then you nurture them and you say, hey, like, it would help us out if you left us a review. You can't really detect that with an algorithm, right? But if you start noticing like there's a large number of people that are leaving a review all at once, or a lot of people that have left reviews on 50 other products leave a review on your product, things like that are like algorithmically detectable, that's when Amazon catches you. Like, Amazon, you know, it's only like wrong if you get caught, like that sort of thing, you know, that saying, like, it's only wrong if you get caught. It's like, you know, like, nothing's going to happen if you're stealing money unless you get caught. And so it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, you can get reviews. It's just like, how do you not get caught doing it? Obviously, like, if you, you know, everyone should stay relatively as close to white hat as possible, but a lot of us have to go a little bit gray, because it's like, how else are you going to get reviews? I've never left a review before. Unless someone's like, hey, I'll give you something for free. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll leave you a review because I want this second thing for free. So how do you do that and not get caught by an algorithm? And that's what everyone just has to think about.
Yeah. And I think another great point there is like, you also always want to think about like what the downside is, right? There's probably a lot of brandless sort of products that are popping up that might go after this, because like, in their worst case scenario, all they do is they spin up another like seller account, and like, they don't care because they're a product, they're not tied to a brand. So if they get shut down, it doesn't matter. But if you're a D2C brand and you have a reputation, and brand is one of the things that you're building, you're better off going to white or maybe some of these grayer hat sort of areas. But you're, like you're saying, you don't want to be spammy and try to, you know, get your actual branded account banned. That would just be totally counterproductive.
Yeah. And the way that I like to do it the most is through like outbound. So finding people on Instagram or anywhere, essentially, and then offering to give them the product for free in exchange for feedback, reimbursing them like off platform, like no coupons, no gift cards, straight up like, you know, PayPal or Venmo. They get the money, they buy the product. we ask them for their feedback first. They like the product, and then we ask them for a review. And then it's very hard to detect by Amazon. It's a lot more work, but you know, it's also real because I'm going after people that would naturally buy the product. Like if I'm an electrolyte powder, I'm going after, you know, hot yoga pages, spinning pages, cycling pages, running pages, you know, people that would naturally buy electrolytes. I'm not going after like, oh, why did this 50-year-old mom that only buys like random things buy like isolate, you know, and leave a review. So it's like trying to be as natural as possible, undetectable as possible. It takes a little bit more work, but it's doable.
Cool. And then, you know, other things that I want to talk about is what sort of, what other trends are you seeing as we look to the rest of 2024? What are some other things on your mind for a brand that's scaling that they want to get right?
Yeah, I think 2024 is the year that everyone needs to become lean, and profit is like the top of mind for everyone. So when you're on Amazon, you really need to, number one, maximize click-through rate and conversion rate. So I think a lot of people, because we're an agency, right? And a lot of people come to us and they're looking for our ads to solve the problem. And it's not the ads that's going to solve the problem. The ads are going to be one piece of the problem. The biggest thing that's going to solve the problem is if you have a really good conversion rate and really good click-through rate, everything else works easier. So if you want more profitability on Amazon, you need a better click-through rate, you need better conversion rate, you need better images, you need to, you know, sell the product through images, you need that landing page, you know, the premium A-plus content, you need the brand story, the mission, vision, values, all of that stuff, like, you know, founder story, all of those sorts of things. You need to focus there. And when it comes to, I think, like, leaving no stone unturned when it comes to, like, profitability on Amazon, what are all of the ways that you can increase average order value if you can get subscribe and save, you know, frequently bought together so that you're, you know, you pay for one customer and get two sales instead of one, or, you know, multiple, you know, products instead of one. I think those are the big things to take into account. And I think no wasted spend. So if you're advertising on Amazon, you really need to have good systems. Like, you need to understand, okay, I'm spending $100 a day. I have exactly $20 a day for test budget. I have a cap of $13 in spend and no sales. I'm going to add as negatives, or, you know, 30, or if I hit 85%, or let's say, like a 2.2 ROAS, I'm going to add that keyword as a negative because that's too low, you know, and my threshold's 2.2. So you need those systems and those processes. You need to kind of have your guardrails and you know, follow that. But on Amazon, generally, they're increasing their fees. They're taking all of these actions. Like, now, if you have little inventory, you get penalized. And if you have too much inventory, you get penalized. So you literally have to be in a perfect range of like 30 to 60 days of stock at all times. And, you know, if it's too low, they're going to be like, well, this is annoying, right? Because it's bad for the customer experience. And we could have allocated more inventory to a better shopper, a better seller than you. And so if you just play by the rules of like Amazon's number one thing is how do we maximize the shopper experience? And if you follow that, you're like, okay, how do I maximize the shopper experience? Always have inventory, never run out of stock, have good reviews, have beautiful creatives, use everything that they give us. So fill out all of the things, you know, if you look into one of the listings, there's like the weight and the dimensions and is it like for an adult or child use or whatever, fill all of that stuff out. And then just be careful with your ad spend, maximize conversion rate. And I think you should do fine on Amazon. I mean, you'll succeed. Amazon's bigger than ever. It's growing faster than ever. It's just 2024 is going to be a tough year.
Yeah. And this was a question that I was really excited to ask you because you get to see all the keywords, all the search volumes, all the products. So what are some trends or like niches or different sort of types of products that you think are going to be successful this year and beyond?
I think single serve packets across the board, I'm seeing for supplements are going to be successful.
What do you mean by that?
So like protein, it comes in like a tub, but like single serve, like a packet of protein that you can take with you and mix. I think, you know, electrolytes, a packet of, you know, pre-workout, packet of like whatever multivitamin. So things like that, that is instead of being like, oh, you know, for your multivitamin, you have to open up a bottle and you know, take a pill. It's like, oh, here is like, a system. They have like this, you know, box, yep, and it has 30 packets and you just take a packet and take it with you. So
love it.
I think, yeah, single serve packets have definitely become a trend. What else did I notice are trends? I don't know, man. I'm having a hard time remembering really any other trends. I think single serve packets is the one thing that I noticed.
And then anything particular in terms of like product categories that like you see sort of taking off, whether it's, you know, in the supplement space or in other spaces, like any sort of hot industries, I guess?
Yeah, berberine. I would say berberine is taking off significantly. That basically like the glucose control, like Ozempic type of products that like sell themselves as like they'll have like similar kind of response as Ozempic. I think that's blowing up. I think it's very easy to just like notice what are the things that celebrities are talking about in terms of like products. And that's usually what scales and ends up scaling on Amazon. So like Ozempic is a big one that like all the celebrities are using. And I can tell you like right off the bat that any supplement that's going to start promoting, you know, that you're going to be less hungry or your food is going to have a less impact on your weight and things like that, that stuff's going to move like hotcakes.
Dude, another fun one might be like the supplements for the anti-Ozempic supplement. So after all the crap happens with Ozempic, maybe you launch a supplement brand to counteract all the counter effects.
Yeah.
But maybe we've got a couple of years for that. But anyway, Mina, I wanted to thank you for coming on today. I had a bunch of fun chatting with you. For our audience who's listening, where can we connect with you? Where can we follow along? Where can we learn more?
Yeah, so definitely check out my YouTube for more like tactical information. It's Mina Elias, MINAELIAS. My LinkedIn is Mina Elias, and my Instagram is at the Mina Elias. I'm pretty accessible everywhere, so hit me up if you have questions. I'm happy to help.
Sweet. Thanks for coming on the show.
Awesome. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed this episode of DTC Pod. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love your support. A rating and a review would go a long way as we continue to host the best builders in DTC and beyond. Follow and subscribe to the show, and make sure to check out our show notes where you can find our socials and weekly newsletter. Visit us on dtcpod.com to join our founder community and access resources from every episode. We'll see you on the next pod.